I'm reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 in your Bible. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. These are the words of God.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath to all of you. If you'll bow your heads with me. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, please open up our ears. Help us to listen. Help us, Lord, to understand. Help me to give your church family the message that you want them to have. In Jesus' name, we ask. If you look in your bulletin this morning, you'll see the title of our sermon is Pulling Weeds. Time of year to kind of get the ground ready for the spring. And you may find yourselves pulling some weeds during this time period as well. So we're going to learn a little bit this morning about pulling weeds, in case you didn't know how to do it. It's actually a parable that Jesus gave to his disciples and the multitudes. He spent time on several parables. In fact, Christ's object lessons is the parables of Christ. And they are studying them on Tuesday night, and then we, as elders, are going to be giving you the parables for those that were not able to be here on Tuesday night. I would impress you, though, to get the book, Christ's Object Lessons. I'm going to be doing some quoting from the book this morning. And so if you wanted to go back and kind of examine some of the things that I have brought to your attention, I would encourage you to do so. It's not a very big book, but it is full of information as we walk with the Lord. So, what is a parable? Have you often wondered when you've heard that word, what is a parable? Well, a parable is a short allegorical story. It's a story, kind of almost like our children's story, in that a group of people are called together. Of course, in Jesus' time, it was multitudes. And he would tell them a story that they could relate to. And it was to illustrate or teach some truth, a religious principle or moral lesson. So when he told stories, it was to teach them a principle or a moral lesson. Well, why did Jesus teach in parables? Why did Jesus teach in parables? He did the Sermon on the Mount. He did a lot of teachings, but why did he specifically choose to teach in parables? And how can we apply them to our own lives today? So this is what I want you to be thinking about. Why and how we can apply those to our own lives as we go out of here today. So pulling up weeds is the parable of the tares. Tares is another word for weeds. And so why did Jesus teach in parables? Why did he do this? Why did he use this particular method to share with the people? And so Sister White tells us that he shared parables because he wanted us to become acquainted with his divine character and life. Christ took on our nature so that he could relate to us and we could relate to him, and he dwelt among us. Divinity was revealed in humanity, And the invisible form, Christ's invisible form, his invisible glory was visible in the human form. Men could learn of the unknown through the known. He brought his Father to earth and presented his Father to the multitudes and to us through Christ. When you've been with him, you've been with the Father. Men could learn of the unknown through the known. Heavenly things were revealed through the earthly. God was made manifested in the likeness of you and me. He was made manifested. So it was in Christ's teaching, as he taught these parables, the unknown was illustrated by the known, and divine truths by earthly things with which the people were most familiar with. The scripture says, as it was in the scripture reading this morning, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, that they might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. He prophesied, they prophesied in the Old Testament that he would speak in parables, and he was doing that as he came to earth. He said, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world, telling us things that we needed to know that were once secret things. Natural things were the medium for the spiritual. He would demonstrate and teach from those things that we know and that the multitudes know, and he used that as a medium for the spiritual. He used the things of nature, and the life experience of his hearers were connected with the truths of the written word. They could identify with it, leading thus from the natural to the spiritual kingdom. He used the things of nature. He used the countryside. He used the planting of seed time. He used things that they were familiar with and could identify with. And Christ's parables are links in the chain of truth that unites man with God and earth with heaven. When you look into nature, when you look into the animals, into the flowers, in the things that are growing, the seeds that have been planted, and how the plant shoots up through the ground, what do you see? What do you see when you look into nature? Exactly. You see God in the things of nature, and everything in this world speaks of our Creator God. And you can see him in the blooming of the flowers, in the clouds, in the sky. You can learn of him through the things that we have right here on earth. In his early ministry, Christ spoke to the people in words so plain that all their hearers might grasp the truth, which would make them wise unto salvation. But in many hearts, I'm sorry to say, the truth had taken no root, and it had to be quickly caught away. So he says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because he says, because they seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not. That's why I asked the Lord to open up our ears this morning. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. This is why Jesus wanted them to hear the parables. This is why he taught in parables. He wanted them, and he wanted to awaken an inquiry into their hearts. He sought to arouse careless and impress the truth upon their hearts. No more effective method of instruction could he have employed. Sometimes when you're telling someone something or trying to show them something, sometimes you have to use picture words. You have to use illustrations of picture words for people to understand so they can relate to it. If his hearers had desired a knowledge of divine things, they might have understood his words, for he was always willing to explain them to the honest inquiry. He never hesitated to share with anyone in whatever way that he knew that they would be able to learn of him and his kingdom. These are the reasons why Christ taught in parables. He wanted them who were unprepared to accept and to understand what he had come to the earth to do. He wanted them to learn. So he taught them in parables. He connected his teachings with scenes of life, with experience, with nature. He connected all three of those. He secured their attention and impressed their hearts. And afterward, as they looked upon the objects, as they looked upon these objects that he had given them that illustrated his lessons, they recalled the words of the divine teacher. They could see in their hearts and in their eyes what he was teaching about. To minds that were open to the Holy Spirit, the significance of the Savior's teachings unfolded more and more. Mysteries grew clear, and that which had been hard to grasp became evident. So this morning, as we open up our Bibles to Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30, let's listen to the voice of Christ as he teaches us the parable of the tares. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, but I know you can follow along. So I'll wait till you get there. Let me know when you're there. You can shake your heads. Matthew 13, 24 through 30. This is the section on the parables that Christ taught. We are his disciples, and we are listening this morning. Starting with verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Can you see the word pictures? Can you see the illustrations that he used that we can understand? But let's look at the parable a little closer. Let's look at the parable a little closer to discover the spiritual truth, the spiritual truths that Jesus is teaching us. Church family, there is good and bad in this world. Can you say amen to that? As well as good and bad in the church. Jesus is using words to describe to the people and his disciples how this happened and what the final results will be. As we look back at the parable, we see that he said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. This parable begins with the sowing of good seed in the spring and the summertime during planting time. This is a familiar time for us. We can see the farmer planting the seed in the spring, getting the ground ready and putting the seeds down. But let's look at the teaching behind the parable. Jesus begins by describing, what's the first thing he begins to describe? Jesus begins by describing the kingdom of heaven and the field that the good seed was sowed in. The kingdom of heaven is the church, and the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. We are the good seed of the kingdom. But the enemy is the devil that sowed the weeds. The weeds are the children of the wicked one. He sneaks in after the good seed was sown and sprinkles poisonous weeds in the field. Sounds like somebody we may know, the evil one, the enemy. So when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, what happened to the weeds? They grew up. They grew up. They also appeared. Then the owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? Where'd the weeds come from?" Nobody likes weeds. Nobody likes weeds. Weeds are the pain of our existence. If you do any gardening, if you plant any flowers, weeds, I'm sorry to say, could almost be a pain. They're a pain to us. We do nothing and the weeds come up. We spray like crazy and weeds come back. There's one weed in particular that I think most of us, including myself, could dislike more than any other. I don't know what they are called, but I've got a name for them. It's called explode-a-weed. Explode-a-weed. I'm sure you've seen them. I know you've seen them. Harmless, false-looking plants with little seed pods on the top. That is, until you go to pull one out. Suddenly, you are surrounded by millions and millions and millions of seed pods. They literally explode around you, spreading seeds for next year's crop all over the area you just carefully weeded. Imagine how farmers must feel when this starts to happen. Verse 28, a reply. Where did the weeds come from? "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" Would it have made a difference? Would it have made a difference if they'd have pulled them up? We've probably had weeds as long as we've been planting things, haven't we? Weeds are highly adaptable. Have you ever noticed that weeds grow where other plants won't? Weeds are also sneaky. Sometimes we plant corn in the garden, and now we may never see this particular weed in years, but there it is. There's that weed that we planted corn. There's that weed. Here is the spiritual truth that Jesus is building on in this parable. His answer to those that wanted to pull the weeds, he says, no. No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. But I know, and you know, as soon as we plant corn, up comes this plant that looks like corn. This plant comes up next to the corn that looks just like the corn. But it isn't. It's a weed. Now, I could go into the garden and pull it out, and I know you all have done this, but when they are young, when the plants look young, they look just like corn seedlings. So I would be in danger of pulling up the corn plants right along with the weeds. Have you done that? When you're weeding, you accidentally pull up the plant that you've put in the ground because the roots get intertwined. They get intertwined. And when you're weeding, you can accidentally pull up a good plant. And then, oh no, what have I done? What have I done? Is Jesus talking about actually pulling up weeds? Yes, Stacy? Anybody else? Anybody else? George?
Good seed produces good fruit. It's a female plant.
Uh-huh.
A female plant produces good fruit. It's a male plant. Don't produce fruit or whatever. In this plant, it grows up, seed pods first open and pollinate, and it pollinates fields for miles and miles around. The air hits that bad stuff. Just the point is a good plant that produces good seed is the female plant. It's a male plant that pollinates and destroys.
How are we applying that to our lives? How are we applying that as church family? Is Jesus wanting to pull the weeds in the church family? And who are the weeds? Let's go ahead, Jerry.
Yes, some people we might think, oh no, they shouldn't be in our church. But, you know, we don't know. God knows our hearts. Only He knows our hearts. And we should not pull people out of our church. Let God do it.
That's a good answer. Good answer. Yes, Anthony.
I'm jumping the gun here, but the end of this is the reapers, the gatherers, those that do the division are who?
The angels.
The angels. It's not our job.
You're jumping the gun. Don't spoil the ending. Okay. Who are the good seeds? Who are the good seeds? In the church, who are the good seeds? I'm sorry, Donna? faithful children, born of the Word of God, born of the Word of God, the truth, true believers, true believers. Who are the weeds?
Those that are acting in faith, the ones that are dwelling in faith, by acting in belief, you cannot see that. But then you got to just often carry on, you know? And they're not really, they don't carry their faith. They don't act,
yep.
They don't do what the scripture says to you, to make disciples in my name. To get that word around the world. Then I will come, says Jesus. So we are great disciples.
But in the church, there are true believers. There are also in the church false believers. They look good on the outside, but they deny Christ's character.
Yes. But Jesus doesn't want us to move around because that's like Anthony said, not our job. And there may be something in that person that is.
Well, let me go on. Go ahead, James.
The terror of the people who are in the church, they appear to be strong in God, but deep down in their hearts, they don't have the faith, or they don't have the closeness of God as the true meat of the purpose.
Who is the enemy? Who has put poisonous seed in to the field, and we don't understand it. We don't know why it happens. We don't understand sin. We don't understand why it's here. Only the Lord knows. And this parable illustrates that Christ was trying to tell them that he had come into the world, that this had all been taken care of ahead of time. This was the mysteries of God, that he was bringing Christ to them in his human form to save them. Cecilia?
Yeah, the Bible itself actually explains this parable. And in verse 38 of the same chapter, the field is the world.
That's why I said.
We've narrowed it down in our conversation to the church and the good and the bad and whatever. He's actually talking about the big picture of the world.
That's what I was saying.
We enter.
Good.
And that they will grow together. So I think we need to keep this as a more global picture, because part of this parable is to help us to understand that God isn't going to take every bad person out of our life.
No.
Globally, not necessarily just the church.
No.
Not, you know, this congregation or whatever, but globally. And there are times when there is appropriate censure. There is appropriate. Not about rooting up anybody, but he actually commands in his word that we share out of love with somebody and you go to them and you actually say, you know, this isn't good for you. This is, you know, sin, and we'd like to help out of that. And whether they, the Holy Spirit, leads them to confess or leads them to change their ways or whatever, that's the Holy Spirit's job.
Oh, yeah. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. You're beating me there. Okay, give me a chance. I'm up here. Let me get a chance to finish this. You can come up and help me preach if you want. But that's exactly what's happening, because there is good and bad in the world, and that's why we're here. But we also have the opportunity to give our hearts to the Lord and reflect his image by in his spirit and becoming true believers. And hopefully reflecting his character and becoming like him. And then there are people, Lord, that are false believers. Their hearts have not been truly given to Jesus. So they are false believers. But there's also in the world good and bad people, and he's come to everyone. He's come to give everyone the hope of eternal life. But the enemy sneaks in like he did, and distributes poisonous seed, which is evil, into the world, into the field, and into the church. It's not only just the world, it's also the church. He sneaks. He's a sneaker. And then who are the harvesters in this? As Anthony said, it's the angels. the angels, when the end of time comes, when it's all going down, the choice that you have made, where you are in your walk with the Lord, either for him or against him, it's over with, because the angels will gather. The angels will gather the weeds, tie them into a bundle, and burn them in the fire. And then they will gather the wheat and bring it into the barn. Christ's second coming, he will take his children home, and the false children will be burned in the fire. So should the weeds be left alone to grow along with the good plants?
Yes,
definitely. Right answer. That's what I had. Travis?
I think, too, in understanding the kind of plant that was sown at that time, it was a plant that looked exactly like the wheat.
Yes.
And so it was also the fact that you couldn't tell the difference
yes.
at that early stage. And so for us, I think one of his points is that you can't judge the heart.
Mm-mm.
Nobody can see that.
Mm-mm.
It's all hard to see.
That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. Connie?
I was just thinking, if we look here, we're both together, we have both had a chance. So the bad seed weeds get a chance to repent from the God, and if they can be saved too.
Right. You have to be careful. You don't want to pull the weeds, because if you pull the weeds, you're going to pull the good plants. You may root up the wheat with them. They have to grow together until the harvest. Until the harvest.
Good air, maybe the good wheat will change the bad wheat.
We cannot judge. It's not our place to judge. We are there to share Jesus with them. We are there to help them, to be there for them, no matter what. It's not our place to judge them. And so I wanted to offer, again, a spiritual truth that Sister White portrayed in Christ's Object Lessons as I get ready to close. It's a multifaceted spiritual truth that he was teaching that day. And let me share that with you. If you'll listen, because you're listening really good. You've got it. I'm just up here helping you to understand a little bit. So she says, in the East, as we go back to the planting, men sometimes took revenge upon an enemy by strewing his newly sown fields with the seeds of some noxious weed that, while growing, closely resembled the wheat. Springing up with the wheat, it injured the crop and brought trouble and loss to the owner of the field. Sometimes we can have conflicts in the church. Sometimes we can have good times, bad times. As church family, we are almost like Christ's disciples. We're all different personalities. We're all different characters. But the Lord has brought us together to share and to give and not to judge and to love one another. And so it is from the enmity to Christ that Satan scatters his evil seed among the good grain of the kingdom. Satan wants to cause havoc in the church with church family. This is what he wants to do. By bringing into the church those who bear Christ's name while they deny his character, the wicked one causes that God shall be dishonored and the work of salvation misrepresented and souls imperiled. Christ's servants, because sometimes we can be grieved as we see true and false believers mingled in the church. They long to do something to cleanse the church. We may find ourselves wanting to do something. So we long to do some cleaning up of the church when we see things happening, but we cannot do that. We cannot pull the weeds up without destroying the good seed. Like the servants of the householder, they are ready to uproot the weeds. But Christ says to them, no, lest while we gather up the weeds, we root up the wheat with them. They need to grow together until the harvest time. We need to grow together until Christ returns. Christ had plainly taught that those who persist in open sin must be separated from the church. But he's not committed to us the work of judging character and motive. It's not our place to judge. It's not our place to judge their character and motive. He knows our nature too well. He knows our nature too well to entrust to us that work. Should we try to uproot from the church those whom we suppose to be false Christians, we should be sure to make mistakes. Often we regard as hopeless subjects. We may think someone is not going to make it. They're hopeless. They could be the very ones who Christ is drawing to himself. She also describes another truth in this parable. There is in the Savior's words another lesson, a lesson of wonderful forbearance and tender love. As the tares or the weeds have their roots closely intertwined with those of the good grain, so false brethren, false friends, false church family in the church may be closely linked with true believers. You could have a relationship with those people. The real character of these pretended believers is not fully manifested yet. Were they to be separated from the church, others might be caused to stumble, who but for this would have remained steadfast. You got a close friend. They may be doing things that they shouldn't be doing, but you're there trying to help them, trying to minister them. Be careful. It could hurt your heart some way. I'm not saying you can't love them. I can't say you can't be there. But pray for them. Be there for them, but be careful is what Jesus is saying. We are not to judge and condemn others, but we are to look to our own selves, and distrust self. We are to look to our own humility for humility and distrust our own selves. We are to be responsible for our own hearts to be made complete in Christ, so that when he returns, he will discern. He's going to know between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that does not serve God. Malachi 3:18. Christ himself will decide who are worthy to dwell with the family of heaven. It's not our place. He will judge every man according to his words and works. Profession is as nothing in the scale. It's the character. It's the character. It's your character. It's their character that decides their destiny. Heaven is coming closer. Jesus is going to come and gather us up. I would encourage you, there's Maranatha, the book Maranatha. I would encourage you, if you don't have a copy, it's a devotional book. Last night, John and I was reading on the blessed hope. We have the blessed hope. Read that devotional on the beautiful, wonderful hope that we have in Christ, our Lord and Savior. I want to be there. Do you want to be there? If you want to be there, then stand up and let's tell the Lord this morning, We love him. We want to go when he comes back. I invite you to stand up for Jesus as we, as a church family, share Jesus with each other, love one another, and love the Lord our God. We have the closing hymn. I'd like to sing about heaven, but we're going to sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, because that is who binding us is Christ. Number 350 in your hymnals. If you'll stay by, Anthony has an announcement for us. So now may the Lord watch between you and me while we are absent one from another. And I hope to see all of you out at Eldon's tonight for a church fellowship time together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for these parables. Thank you for your stories. Thank you for being our Lord and Savior. Help us, Lord, to take you with us wherever we go, to share you with others, so they can be ready, Father, when you come to get us. Jesus' wonderful, precious, and beautiful name, we ask. Amen.